What does leadership really look like? On The Power of Advice, a new podcast series from Capital Group, you'll hear from athletes, entrepreneurs, and executives who've led on the field, in the boardroom, and in their communities. It's not about titles. It's about impact. Discover what drives them and the advice they carry forward. Subscribe and start listening today. Published by Capital Client Group, Inc.
Some men don't need enemies to destroy them. They do it to themselves, one careless phrase at a time. Not with blows, but with words that appear strong, confident, even wise. But deep down, they're nothing more than fear disguised as laziness. You've probably heard them before. Those expressions that reveal a man has stopped growing. That he no longer reflects and simply drifts through life. The Stoics already warned us. Speech is the mirror of the soul. And when your words are built on excuses and ego, your life inevitably follows that same path. This episode isn't here to go easy on you. We're going to expose six phrases spoken by foolish men. The kinds of phrases that, little by little, destroy your discipline, your integrity, and the respect others have for you without you even realizing it. And most importantly, we'll show you what a Stoic man would say instead. Because the way you speak isn't just noise, and it's a reflection. It either sharpens your character or sells it off to the highest bidder, piece by piece. If you've ever said something and immediately felt the weakness behind it, this message is going to hurt, but in the best way. Like this episode, subscribe to the podcast and leave a comment that says, "I'd rather stay silent than sound like a fool." Now let's break the silence before your own words hurt you more than any enemy ever could. One of the most quietly dangerous things a man can say is, "That's just how I am." At first glance, it sounds firm. It sounds final. But deep down, it's absolute surrender. Not surrender to truth or principles, but to the comfort of staying still. This phrase usually comes from the lips of men who've confused rigidity with strength. Men who don't grow, who don't question themselves, and who cling to the same place year after year, convinced that refusing to change is a form of integrity. But it's not. That's not strength. It's just ego disguised as apathy. I remember a man named Carl, a retired Navy veteran. He dressed impeccably, was 70 years old, and had the kind of presence that commanded respect without raising his voice. But those who knew him best knew the truth. He was emotionally stuck in time. Every time his wife asked for more connection, more emotional openness, Carl would simply mumble, "That's just not who I am." When his son tried to talk about past wounds, Carl would respond coldly, "That's not how I deal with things." Over time, his relationships began to fall apart, not through arguments or drama, but slowly from erosion. Nothing changed. Nothing moved forward. And in the end, there was nothing left. When his wife left, there was no slammed door. She just stopped waiting for a man who refused to change. That's what makes this phrase so destructive. It sounds like conviction, but it's really a sentence disguised as strength. Stoic philosophy completely rejects that kind of inner abandonment. Seneca wrote, "As long as you live, keep learning how to live." That line hits harder with age because life never stops teaching you unless you stop listening. Many men, especially as they grow older, confuse experience with wisdom. But one can exist without the other. A man who repeats the same excuse over and over eventually becomes a statue of himself, solid, unmoving, forgotten. The Stoic man doesn't hide behind a fixed identity. He sharpens it, he listens, not out of weakness, but because he has the clarity to understand that every day is a new opportunity to refine who he is. Discipline doesn't mean staying the same. It means choosing progress over pride. The man who says, "That's just how I am," hasn't just stopped evolving. He started to rot from the inside, and that decay spreads. To his words, his thinking, his life, his vocabulary shrinks, his mind closes, his routine becomes a shelter of constant resistance, and one day all he has left is a worn-out phrase and a list of people who got tired of waiting for him to change. The Stoic doesn't cling to identity like armor. He uses truth as a whetstone, He adapts, evolves. Not because the world demands it, but because his own soul needs it. And if this first phrase already made you stop and think, get ready, because the next one hurts even more. We're about to talk about the man who confuses silence with strength and uses that lie to hide from everything that's real. 2. Real men don't talk about their emotions. According to research by the American Psychological Association, men who repress their emotions are at a much higher risk of suffering from depression, cardiovascular disease, and even dying prematurely. And yet one of the most destructive lies passed from man to man, especially among older generations, is this belief: real men don't talk about their feelings. It's inherited like a family legacy, worn with pride as if it were a badge of honor. But deep down, what it really is, what is a shield built out of fear. Men who cling to this idea aren't demonstrating strength. They're avoiding an inner battle they don't feel ready to fight. This phrase has nothing to do with masculinity. It has everything to do with avoidance. It's the emotional equivalent of closing the curtains and praying the storm passes. But what actually happens is that pain, that confusion, that resentment, they begin to rot in silence far beneath the surface. And sooner or later they show up as anger, addictions, or complete disconnection from others and from oneself. A man who believes he must bury everything in order to be respected is actually digging his own grave while still alive. Many people completely misunderstand Stoicism at this point. They hear "master your emotions" and think that means suppressing them. But that's not Stoicism. That's avoidance. The Stoics never preached emotional suppression. They preached emotional clarity. Marcus Aurelius, one of the most powerful leaders in human history, wrote privately about his deepest fears, his pain, his flaws. He didn't publish them. He faced them. He analyzed them with precision, so they wouldn't dominate him in silence. The Stoic man doesn't fear feeling. He fears becoming a slave to emotions he never dared to name. Emotional maturity doesn't mean breaking down in front of others, but it also doesn't mean numbing yourself in a cold parody of Stoicism. It means observing what's happening inside you, with honesty, with courage, without sugarcoating, and learning to respond with calm, not impulse. Men who never speak about what they carry inside are often the ones carrying the most wounds. They believe that if they don't show cracks, they'll stay protected. But the truth is this: it's precisely through those cracks that the light of wisdom enters. Speaking about what hurts you, not from weakness but from ownership of your voice, is a strength very few possess. The truth is, the man who never expresses his inner world is often the one most controlled by it. And if you can't face your own truth, sooner or later someone else will suffer the consequences of the silence you carry. Stoicism doesn't demand silence. It demands honesty. You don't have to cry in front of strangers, but you do need to stop pretending you don't feel. Because the next phrase is where the rot of guilt begins. The exact point where everything a man could have taken responsibility for turns into denial. And once that denial spreads, nothing noble survives. Let's now talk about the man who dodges responsibility by default, every time with just four words. 3. It's not my fault. Few expressions reveal a man's inner fragility as quickly as this one. It's not my fault. At first glance, it sounds like a defense, but in reality, it's a confession of defeat. It's the language of someone who has completely given up control over his own life. A man who believes the world just happens to him. That he's always the victim, never the cause, and certainly not the solution. That kind of thinking doesn't just erode his dignity. It sterilizes his entire existence. The Stoics saw this mindset as the beginning of moral decay. Epictetus wrote, "It's not the events themselves that disturb us, but our interpretation of them." What does this mean? That circumstances are rarely the real enemy. It's our interpretation of those circumstances that gives them power. And no interpretation is more destructive than believing that responsibility always lies with someone else. The man who constantly blames the economy, his boss, his wife, his childhood, his ex, his enemies, or even fate itself, isn't expressing his pain. He's handing over his power. And the worst part is, he becomes deaf to the only voice that could change everything, his own. Marcus Aurelius made it perfectly clear, you have power over your mind, not outside events. Understand this, and you will find strength. The man who refuses to accept this isn't a Stoic. He's a prisoner of his own excuses. Blaming is easy. It's an automatic reflex for those who don't want to look inward. But taking responsibility, that requires structure. It requires letting go of the need for apologies, of the fantasy that conditions will magically improve, and instead asking yourself one uncomfortable but essential question. What is in my hands? And the answer, though simple, is always the same. Your reaction, your direction, your discipline. Older men, especially those who've been through hard years, often carry deep scars, financial, emotional, spiritual. And yes, many of those wounds weren't their fault, but dragging that pain into the future as if it's a free pass to stay stuck. That's not wisdom, that's cowardice with a good memory. The Stoic doesn't deny injustice, but he refuses to live in reaction to it. Seneca summed it up powerfully. A gem cannot be polished without friction, nor a man perfected without trials. Life is going to wear you down, but blaming the friction won't make you stronger. What will is enduring it with dignity and adapting to it. So the next time something falls apart, and that phrase starts to rise in your throat, pause. Grab it, transform it. Don't say, it's not my fault. Say, now it's my responsibility. Because that small shift, that subtle moment of claiming control, makes all the difference between a man who grows bitter and one who transforms. And now we go deeper into that false mindset of self-sufficiency, into a phrase so common it's become part of our culture, the voice of mediocrity disguised as confidence. Let's talk about what happens when a man believes he deserves more without ever having earned it. 4. I deserve better. Few words hide such obvious silent arrogance as this one. I deserve better. To the casual ear, it sounds like self-esteem. But in reality, it's often a mask for resentment and laziness. The men who say it with conviction are rarely the ones doing the quiet, consistent, daily work of becoming better people. They don't build, they wait, they demand. They imagine that life, or others, owe them something higher, purer, more valuable. But Stoicism dismantles that mindset from the root. It teaches us that life owes you nothing, and that true dignity doesn't come from what you believe you deserve, but from what you cultivate regardless of the outcome. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself, don't waste time wondering what a good man should be. Be one. That phrase cuts through the illusion of entitlement. It doesn't ask what has been denied to you. It demands you ask what you are doing right now to align yourself with virtue. The man who constantly says, I deserve better, usually does less than he thinks and expects more than he's actually earned. He trades humility for anxiety and solid work for constant complaint. The Stoic man doesn't walk through life with a list of what he's owed. He walks with discipline in silence and with the willingness to do the hard things without asking for applause. Epictetus said, first say to yourself what you would be, then do what you have to do. That is the opposite of ego. It's pure commitment. Men who feel entitled to everything often confuse dissatisfaction with growth. But they are not the same. Dissatisfaction without discipline only leads to resentment. True growth requires discomfort, taking responsibility and holding yourself back instead of demanding. You'll never hear a Stoic say, I want what I deserve. What he says is, I will become what I admire, no matter what I receive in return. Many men, especially later in life, start to feel this phrase creep in when relationships shake, when careers stall, when recognition begins to fade. And the temptation is to blame others for not seeing their value. But here's the truth. If you spend more time announcing your worth than developing it, you've already lost your way. Seneca put it clearly. It's not that we have too little time to live, but that we waste much of it. And one of the greatest wastes is the time we spend demanding rewards for work we never did. A man of depth, substance, and Stoic character, doesn't say, "I deserve better." He asks, "Am I still sharpening myself?" Because that question keeps him focused on the process, not the prize. And when a man falls too deeply into the territory of ego and entitlement, what comes next is even worse: withdrawal. Not to regroup, but to escape. Let's move on to the next phrase. One that exposes a man who has stopped doing what's right, because he's gotten too comfortable doing only what's expected. 5. That's not my job. That's not my responsibility. I'm not doing that. It's not part of my role. You'll hear these phrases from men who quietly have stopped leading, but still want to be seen as responsible. It's an expression that sounds like healthy boundaries, but at its core, it's avoidance disguised as maturity. Men who live by this logic slowly shrink their presence, until all that's left of them is routine and mechanical duty. They confuse minimal effort with balance, and gradually trade usefulness for comfort, until their value is reduced to doing only what's strictly required, and not an ounce more. I remember a man named Ryan, a former machine operator in Pittsburgh. He worked on the production line for 30 years, never missed a shift. Every day he showed up at 5 a.m. sharp, but at home he lived by the same motto: "That's not my concern." Doing the dishes? Not his job. Helping his teenage son with school decisions? Not his problem. Talking about emotions with his wife? Not a chance. He worked, paid the bills, and was physically present. He did the bare minimum in every area where much more was needed, and called it being a responsible man. When his wife decided to leave after 28 years of marriage, Ryan sat in the same kitchen chair as always and muttered, "I did everything I was supposed to do." But that was the mistake. He never asked what was needed, only what had been assigned to him. And that's not leadership. That's a silent retreat. The Stoics never lived solely out of duty. They lived with purpose. Marcus Aurelius once wrote, "What is your vocation? To be a good man." Not a man who hides behind a job description, but one who sees a void and fills it. Stoic strength means being present even when it's uncomfortable, when no one notices, when there's no applause or recognition. Because the man who only does what's expected is really just waiting for someone else to carry what he chooses to avoid. Every time a man repeats, "That's not my job," what he's really saying is, "I don't want responsibility pulling me out of my comfort zone." He's not protecting himself. He's surrendering his influence. The Stoic man understands that power isn't found in what you avoid. It's in what you take on, even when no one asks you to. And once you start outsourcing your effort, your value starts to leave with it. You're no longer someone others can rely on. You become someone they learn to work around. Now we move to an even more dangerous phrase. Not because it limits your actions, but because it dulls your spirit. A phrase that sounds harmless, even peaceful, but slowly corrodes ambition from the inside out. Let's talk about the man who gives in to apathy, with a simple shrug and 5 words that say it all. 6. It is what it is. According to behavioral science research, one of the first signs of learned helplessness in adults is verbal resignation. That moment when a person stops believing their actions can change their reality. And no phrase signals that surrender more than a shrug followed by, "It is what it is." At first, it sounds stoic, detached, even wise. But beneath the surface, it's none of those things. For many men, especially those worn down by years of disappointment, this phrase becomes a silent death sentence. It's not acceptance, it's emotional surrender. The Stoics did teach us to accept what we cannot control, but they never asked us to forfeit the power we do have. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "You have power over your mind, not outside events. Understand this, and you will find strength." That is not permission to shut down, it's a call to action. When a man constantly leans on "it is what it is," he's no longer practicing Stoic resilience. He's practicing emotional numbness. Seneca was even more direct. "It's not that we have a short time to live, but that we waste much of it." And the man who repeats this phrase over and over and isn't just wasting time, he's losing determination. He's numbing his purpose and disguising his apathy as philosophical wisdom. The most tragic part is that this mindset spreads quietly. It seeps into his relationships, his ambition, his health. The man who stops fighting for what matters, who stops choosing how to respond, becomes a spectator of his own life, passive, disconnected, and increasingly invisible. There's a big difference between composure and surrender. Stoic composure says, "I see things as they are, and I'll act within what's in my power." Surrender says, "I see what's happening, and I give up." One sharpens you, the other dulls you. The stoic man doesn't whisper, "It is what it is," when life gets hard. He examines, he accepts, and then he responds. Not with complaints, not with rage, but with precision. Life is going to hurt. People will fail you. The world won't bend to your wishes, but that's no excuse to rot in passivity. So the next time you feel that phrase rising in your chest, pause. Ask yourself, is this true acceptance? Or am I just too tired to care? Because every time you choose passivity, you become easier to ignore. And one day you wake up, not respected, not feared, not loved, just invisible. And that is the cruelest fate for a man who was once capable of so much more. Now let's close with clarity. Because once you know these six phrases are weakening your inner power, only one important question remains. What will you say instead? Every man leaves a trail, sometimes in his step, other times in his words. The truth is, most people won't judge you by your plans, not even by your past. They'll judge you by what slips out of your mouth when you're not performing. And these six phrases don't just sound weak. They are weakness concentrated into words, repeated long enough that they become your identity. But here's the twist. That identity isn't final. Not if you have the courage to face it, because weakness isn't the enemy. Denial is. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "The soul becomes dyed with the color of its thoughts." So if you speak like a victim, don't be surprised if you end up suffering like one. But if you begin to speak with clarity, even privately, even when no one is listening, then you're rebuilding something stronger than any reputation. Character. A stoic man doesn't speak to impress. He speaks with precision, with restraint, with awareness. And when he's silent, that silence carries weight. If this episode struck a nerve, let it. That's where growth begins. Like the episode, subscribe to the podcast and leave a comment that says, "I choose strength over noise," because foolish men fill the air, but the wise, when they speak, the world listens.